This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight! Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. Those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast. We want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 522 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, it's a fix-it or add-it type of show. We're going to hit each of the parks and figure out something that could either be fixed or added to kind of make that day that much better. To help me do that, we have a couple co-hosts with us. Lisa, how's it going?
Ed, what's going on, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. Nice to have you back on the show. It's been a while.
No, just, I don't know, year, two, six, seven, yeah.
I think it's been a little bit more than closer than that, but definitely
it has been. It has been closer than that.
And I hear we might have you on a little bit more often, so that's very cool.
Yeah, my schedule's starting to lighten up a little bit with the work and the fam, so Thursdays are starting to look pretty.
Nice, very cool. Also, to help us tonight, we have Amanda. Hey, Amanda, how's it going?
Hello, hello. How are you?
Doing well. How have you been?
Great.
Excellent. How are the little kitties at school?
Oh, they're great.
always. Good answer. Very good answer. And to help us tonight, we also have our friend Brooke. Hey, Brooke, how's it going?
Hey, happy to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. Brooke's a listener of the show and a lifelong Disney and Disney Parks fan, and she wanted to help us out with tonight's topic, and the more the merrier, I always say.
Yeah.
So, the topic tonight is going to be all about what we're going to change at each of the parks. Before we get to that, though, we're going to talk a little bit about Walt Disney World news. There's a bunch of different things going on in that the summer is just around the corner, and they're starting to announce some of the different things going on at the parks. One of the things that jumped out right away to me, because I'm a big drone fan to begin with, is that they're bringing the drones back to Disney Springs, which I think it's an exciting thing. I have a feeling that somebody might disagree with that.
Drones are a problem looking for a solution. Or a solution looking for a problem, rather. Like, I just feel like we're trying to use drones in all different places. I don't remember that show being all that great at Springs the last time, but here we are. We're going to give it a go again.
Do you guys know, have you seen the drones on video, or do you remember when they came into the parks a couple of years ago?
I don't remember. No, I
it was
don't.
Holiday. But it was a holiday time show at Springs.
Yeah, I remember seeing videos of it, but like you said, it didn't really stick out to me.
No, yeah, and even right. They do a drone show in Paris, do they not?
Well, that's what I was going to say. They've been experimenting since they stopped in Florida over in Paris and I think in Hong Kong. And I think they're getting their act together enough to bring it back.
Yeah, I don't remember. But honestly, I think the drones are pretty cool. I mean, it's newer technology and there's a lot you can do with it. Even implementing into like fireworks shows, I think, is also a cool idea.
Totally agree. They just have to keep it safe. I guess keep it safe because I do remember they had a show in the Magic Kingdom at the beginning, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when they brought the drones in. That might have been an intro show. That's the one where they had a dragon flying around. They also had a couple X-Wings when they opened up Galaxy's Edge that were drones decorated like X-Wings that rose up behind the mountains, turned around slowly, and then kind of worked out of there. It was really, really cool. But it is a safety factor. Now, the ones down at Disney Springs are going to be on the west end, and it's going to be over water. So more than likely, they're going to have barges where they're going to launch off of. They're going to keep them over the water, and more than likely, the boats are going to be kept away during the shows.
Throw some fountains in there and give me World of Color in Disney Springs, and I am a happy camper. What are you with the drones?
That's a great idea. I've never even thought about that, because all that water, and it could definitely be underneath of it, and they could have trails to get the boats through and such like that. So now Disney Springs also has the new crossway. I say new, but it's been there for like 5 or 6, 7, 10 years now. That bridge that goes across from the boat over to...
by World of Disney.
Right.
Yep.
Which is a great viewing area for almost anything you're going to watch out there, too.
Yes, it'll be nice to watch that thin line that they need to keep totally clear, and then everybody fighting for a spot on the bridge. What else? Right. What other great things can we bring to Disney Springs that isn't crazy enough?
I think we'll be able to view it from a lot of different areas. It's going to be fun to find out. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Well, the positivity of Ed and the negativity of me is just quite the balance right now with this topic. What else is coming this summer, Ed?
Oh, I don't want to leave this one yet. I do think Brooke is right, though. They have the technology now, I think, advanced enough to make it worth the while. And to mix it with fireworks, I think that's just phenomenal, because it'll be back and forth. So we'll see. Another announcement is, and this is great because I haven't seen any of this new Epcot stuff, but the Encanto show has been announced. It's going to be at the Communicore Plaza in Epcot, in that whole area behind Moana, right behind Spaceship Earth, and I'm looking forward to it. Communicore is the last piece of it, and the dates we have for the Encanto show is May 10th, so that's got to mean Communicore is going to be open by then.
Yeah, I think I saw today it's going to be sometime in June.
Okay. Very good. Following right up. And that's perfect. I'm hoping to be down there to see it. So another announcement is, and this isn't so much as for the summer, but I think going forward, the Tough to Be a Bug attraction over in Animal Kingdom is going to be replaced. It looks like Zootopia is going to be coming in there. You guys as Zootopia fans?
I'm a huge Zootopia fan.
Yeah. I love Tough to Be a Bug, though.
I'm with Brooke. I love It's Tough to Be a Bug.
I think It's Tough to Be a Bug is fantastic. I think it's been, since they've announced that it's going away, it has been very busy. Like, you know, Maelstrom was and everything else. When they announce that it's closing, it gets crazy. Like, there was a huge line for Country Bears before everything shut down. It was like you could walk into Country Bears and not have an issue at all. But I do. I love Zootopia, and I think it. I like that they're going to add it to Animal Kingdom. I do agree, though. It's Tough to Be a Bug is such a classic. I have a lot of really like huge memories that go with that, with taking my nieces for the first time and watching Angela go crazy every time the spiders drop down or the things crawl under your butt, and she forgets that it's there, and it's fantastic to listen to her scream.
Even just taking a selfie with those glasses, I do that every time because they're so funny.
Very much so. I tell you what, I think though that it probably has spent it. When was the last time there was a big line for it? I haven't, even in the summer, usually you're walking right underneath into the waiting area. And yeah. I think that might be the point.
There are quite a few people that still to this day go to Disney parks regularly and didn't know it existed because of the way that the attraction queue is. They think it's maybe a walkthrough. They don't understand what it is.
If you happen to go to Africa and you don't go right, means you're coming into the Tree of Life, you might not ever see it. You're right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is changing to Zootopia, and I can actually see where that might work out. The bunny cop, I think, is going to be the animatronic. So she's going to take the place of who's the Flick. Main ant?
Flick.
Flick.
Yeah. And then who knows who the bad guy will be in that one. So it should be interesting. They also announced plans at Animal Kingdom. They're going to start building a construction boneyard area. This is an area where they're going to store construction equipment for the beginning of the Dino Land rehab. So they just submitted plans that were approved, and that's going to happen hopefully relatively soon. As far as the whole land goes, who knows? However, we have a term to call it as we go on forward. We're going to call it the Tropical Americas Pavilion, or the Tropical Americas part of the park, I think is what they're saying, because I guess Indiana Jones, Encanto, South of the Border, South America type of thinking.
Yeah, I'm eager to see what happens with this. I'm eager to see two things. One, how they transform this land, because it does have a pretty... It felt so out of place, but it does actually have a pretty rich history. And the less obvious question is, will they still have the walkway available during construction? Will they still... because that one way in, one way out over to Nemo and Expedition Everest is a little yucky.
Right. That's a good point. I'm not sure how they're going to do that. Actually, they probably could keep that open all along the lake there, on the waterside. That almost actually could be not even part of Dino Land. As long as you don't go underneath the brontosaurus, you're going past that side, mm-hmm. you can like skip all of Dino Land altogether there. So they'll probably wall that off. Love to see the dinosaurs say in some kind of gyration, but I don't think so. The Concretosaurus, what was that called? Very, very cool. What do you guys, do you have any memories of Dino Land or what you're going to miss, or is this a good change?
Oh my gosh, what was it called?
Hey, Mickey?
Maybe.
Not that area.
No, I vividly remember like a coaster in Dino Land.
Well, there was a coaster in Dino Land that was Primeval World, and it was the type that was in a round car. So you went up on the roller coaster, you went up the hill around the curve, and then as you started going down the slight hill, the roller coaster, the car itself, because it was round, started then being able to spin a little bit as you went around.
Okay. And maybe that is what
it was definitely thinking. A roller coaster, and as if you were smaller, then it would definitely be a big roller coaster. And it was the coolest thing. That's what's not there. That's they took that out, and that's
yeah, like a while ago.
Yeah, and that's like big land behind that fence now.
Right.
And one of the funnest facts about that roller coaster, that was basically a mimic of Dinosaur, because as you went each part of that, you got to watch this on YouTube now. But as you went through each part of that roller coaster, you mimic things you did in Dinosaur. So in the beginning, you're going up the hill. That's like you going back in time. And then up top, you see things, and you actually see the meteors on the roller coaster now when you look back on it.
Right.
But it was totally just like the ride itself inside.
Okay. Well, that's what I have a memory of when I was younger. When I went with my parents, like I was scared of rides. So I would pick and choose which ones I wanted to do, but I remember going on that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a fun one until it started spinning.
But,
it was good. Okay, so the last bit of news we have for tonight is that Test Track is closing in July, and it will be closing for a year. So it's going to be down for refurbishments. Not 100% sure if it's changing sponsors as much as it perhaps is replacing the entire system because of all the outages it's been having for the past 5 years. It's been a while. It's been in and out. I haven't had any issues the last couple of times. I've actually lucked out in that it was down and came back up as we walked past. So that happened twice. And that's the perfect time to jump online for those type of rides. But other than that, I look forward to it. It can only get better after that. But get to it soon.
Build a tent over it so that it'll run even if it rains. I think that's always what I want to say. I love Test Track. I really liked Test Track, the first 1.0, not 2.0.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But it does shut down so often that I really would like to see I'm excited to see them working on it. I think that that's really important. I think it does need a full, like, refurb from a new ride vehicle functionality. You know, take the time, yeah. Get it right, reopen. I'm excited.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope. Okay, guys. So tonight's topic is fix it or add it. We're going to talk about each of the parks and come up with one item each that we'd like to either fix or add that we think that would make that day much more enjoyable. And I tell you what, since we're in Animal Kingdom, let's stay here. And let's talk about Animal Kingdom first. Does anybody want to volunteer to go? I thought so. So I will go first. And Animal Kingdom, I think, needs a sit-down restaurant, another sit-down restaurant. Basically, I was looking at a map of Animal Kingdom, and if you look at it, the whole left side of the map, we've got maybe four restaurants. When you look at Yak and Yeti, that's actually in the center of the map on the top. It's not too far to the right side. And as you go to the right, you're going to pass Everest, Nemo, Dinoland, and all that area. There is no sit-down restaurants for half the park. Now, I kind of think down the road with this new Dinoland refurbishment and the Tropical Americas coming in, that perhaps that might be on the slate, but I do think there should be one. And if you think about the restaurants in Animal Kingdom, two of them are owned by non-Disney companies, aren't they? Yak and Yeti and, again, the what's the one with the volcano over at Disney Springs?
Rainforest, I think?
Right, at the entrance. At the entrance of the park. And that's at the entrance. It's not even in the park. So I'm walking all the way out to the turnstiles to go have dinner, which I've never done. So that would be my Animal Kingdom added. Make sure we get ourselves another sit-down restaurant. We do have Tiffin's. We've got the Pizza Fari, I think, but that's closed right now. Mm-hmm. And
Nomad.
Right, the Tiffin's, I think, is the restaurant off of Nomad's Lounge. But yeah, that's another sit-down. Oh. And there was one more that they have, and that was it. And I'm like, oh, Yak and Yeti. So that's mine. We need a new restaurant.
So I didn't really think too much into it, but I wanted to maybe add a nighttime show somehow to make it an all-day park, because it's not an all-day park for me. And once I've made my rounds around the park, I don't want to do anything else. There's no reason for me to stay. So I go to either Magic Kingdom or Epcot to see the nighttime shows.
Wasn't there something on the tree that they were doing some type of show? Yeah.
And they had for about 2 years nighttime shows. They had the displays on the tree where they had the different shows. They had a lot of nighttime entertainers walking around and such like that. They had the nighttime safari where you can go on the safari in the dark and see the cool things going on. So I kind of agree with that. That's not a bad idea, adding something new at night. Very true. Okay, Brooke, what do you think in Animal Kingdom we can either fix or add?
To be honest, my list that I made is just more general about Disney. I wasn't focused on all of the parks, so I didn't really have one.
Oh, that's fine. But what do you think if you were walking around Animal Kingdom or your days and you think about, like, what's the biggest thing that always stops you at Animal Kingdom that's the problem? Does anything come to mind like that?
I'm a big ride person, and Animal Kingdom does not have a lot of rides. So for that reason, I don't really, like Amanda, maybe for the same reason or not, I don't spend a lot of time at Animal Kingdom. I'm always done at Animal Kingdom if I'm there to rope drop by one or two, and then I leave and then I don't come back. And that sucks, because Animal Kingdom has a lot of nice things to offer as well that are not just rides. I enjoy, like, seeing all the animals and the petting zoo area, but again, that's not what I'm going to Disney for either. I can do that at home if I go to a zoo or something. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see just more rides, like another roller coaster would be cool.
That sounds like a plan. How about more rides that have wildlife included with them? Leslie and I are going down in Florida for the summer, so we're looking at SeaWorld, actually, to go hit that place. And they have a great ride that actually flies down in through an area that's, they're basically going through an aquarium on the ride. So cool, like nature, quote unquote, nature is a place to add. But I get what you're saying. Some activities to keep you occupied. That definitely makes sense.
Like, they should just, like, talk about Rafiki's Planet Watch more. Because I didn't know about it for a long time. And I took the train
And, like, I was going to suggest that the Brook is not going to go, but I thought maybe a train would be too slow. As far as something else to do.
But also, like, when I went, like, I drew a character. Like, it was so fun over there. And I didn't know about it for...
Well, for a while. No, I agree. If nobody tells you about it, you get off the safari and you walk past this big sign that says Rafiki's Planet Watch, right. But it doesn't really tell you what it is.
Weird. Yeah.
The cast members, when you get off of the safari, will usually tell you, like, you know, you can go this way to see the animals further in, like, a different capacity. But that's really it. And if you're not doing the safari and if you don't see the sign, you're not really going to know that it's there.
Sure. Right. And they're usually telling you to go on the gorilla trails because that's at the entrance of the safari right there. But I totally get it. Then again, you can't really put a lot of people on that train and get them over there and back. And it is a little bit of a time investment. So people kind of get frightened with that.
Right.
I definitely think it's worth it, though. And for what you were saying, I've seen animal operations over there. They have live cameras into the vets, rooms and stuff like that where they're doing the treatment of the animals. Very, very interesting stuff.
It is.
When you take the train over there, I can't remember. Do they have somebody mic'd up, like, telling you what you're seeing as you're making your journey over there? Because it's kind of, like, backstage. Like, you can see the animals in there.
I want to say yes, but I'm not 100% on that. It could be the internal narration going on some of these things. Because after you've seen the Animal Kingdom, they have that animal show about the back behind the scenes at Animal Kingdom. You'll see some of the pens that they went in during that show back there. And it's really cool on the train ride.
Yeah.
So it's you're right. It's a good ride on itself, an attraction. Okay, Lisa, so what do you think? What can we fix or add to Animal Kingdom?
I don't know whether or not I have a solid answer for Animal Kingdom. I'm at a loss because of technical issues. I have not heard what everybody else has said. My liver die revolves around food.
Okay.
So I would love to see, I think your go-to is barbecue or maybe a Satouli canteen, if that's your thing. But when I sit and I think about the food options there, I'm a little bit underwhelmed other than Yak and Yeti. So, and Nomad is not my cup of tea. Whatever, Tiffin's or whatever it is.
Right.
I'm not looking for...
you can walk all the way out to the turnstiles if you want and go eat at that restaurant.
And that doesn't impress me either. Like, there's just a... When I think about what the lead-in or the draw-in to Animal Kingdom is, it's like, okay, I'll go in the morning, let me get out of there, buy lunch, and go find somewhere to eat.
Yeah, I agree with that. And actually, that was my choice for Animal Kingdom. That was my added. I wanted to get another sit-down restaurant on the other side of the park where there is none. Dinoland, Nemo side, that whole side of the map. And for you guys listening, just to come clean, Lisa actually disappeared through our conversation about Animal Kingdom. So it was just Brooke, Amanda,
and started talking, and I said,
we tried to play it cool, but Lisa's back with us now, so awesome that she is. So, totally agree with the food option. I think we definitely need another restaurant over there. I'd prefer a sit-down. However, I think the big thing now is the sit-downs with the lunch counter service options. Like, don't they do that over in Mexico? They have the type of thing in Epcot? Or is it just sit down the whole day for that outside?
You get that at ABC Commissary now, I believe.
Oh, okay.
At ABC Commissary is in the afternoon. It's a quick service at night.
Over
at
Hollywood Studios. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was ours. So yeah, I think that was pretty good for Animal Kingdom. Let's move over to Epcot and keep this moving along. Amanda, you go first this time, please.
Oh my goodness. All right. So I was in between two. I was kind of thinking about, I was thinking between two of them, which would be how at an after hours party around the countries. So like you prepay for it, but it's kind of like when you go to the festival, they have options for food and drinks. And I don't know, I think it would just be nice to walk around at night without so many other people there.
That's a good one. Have they done that? I kind of don't remember them doing an Epcot, like as far as it being just World Showcase kind of eat and drink type of event. That sounds like a great thing.
They've done Moonlight Magic there, but not an actual like paid after hours. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Right, I agree. It's got to be during food and wine also, because then all the options are there.
And add a show to the performers, do a show during the after hours.
Just for you guys.
Yep.
Good one. I think we're on, Amanda. We're going to have to write Disney on this one. That's a good one.
Put me on the payroll.
Very cool. Okay, Lisa, you're up. What are we going to do at Epcot?
I would really have, we want people to listen to this show, so I won't give my actual thoughts with half or three quarters of the people literally shutting off.
What if my you can add it is. Or fix it, you go for it.
No, it's not going to be a fix for a lot of people unless they've got young kids. It's not a fix. But my fix is kid related. You know, I've got four kids. They're older now, but they were younger. When we were going to the parks, you know, when we didn't live here, when we were going coming from up north, and I would love to see. You have to really dig and find kid-related things in World Showcase. Nothing's really obvious.
Well, they shove the kid cots at you every time someone says that.
They shove a kid cot at you, but I wouldn't call a kid cot something that a 9 or 10 year old is going to want to do. So like,
true.
I think about, you know, the scavenger hunts. Those are really cool, but you gotta know that they exist. There are so many people that go that don't know that they exist. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about that age group, think about preteens. They do not want to be in the World Showcase. That is like a day in class. Like, they do not want to be there. So how do you trick that age group into enjoying that part of that park?
Mm-hmm. You gotta
I think...
The next great
thing. I think that Future World, or whatever we're calling it now. I'm old enough to say I'll always call it MGM. Future World is...
Or Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, right. But Future World is a place that a preteen would want to go to. It's got Test Track. It's got Mission Space. It's got Guardians of the Galaxy. It's got Soarin'. And even like throwback rides. Oh my God, I loved Nemo. Let's go ride Nemo. Oh, you know, there's something there for everybody. Then you get, I always call it North of the Border because of the way that the park map sits in my hand. It's really south of the border. When you get up to World Showcase, you lose them. How do you regain their attention?
Right, that's a good point. I came across videos that we did, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago with the kids. They were doing the Kim Possible adventure, and it was fun because not all of us had cell phones at that point. So they had given us flip phones that had the animations that kept track of where we were and where we were going in the park. And the kids were...
Perry, that like that old, the Phineas and Ferb, where you, Perry the Platypus.
Right, and that was the later one. And that was a good one because people used their phones for that one, or they had devices, I think, in the beginning, but then they used their phones. But it was cool because there was 3D things happening in the parks that you got to watch. So you'd see the flag go up on the Eiffel Tower, or you'd see smoke come up somewhere else, or
you'd show up in like above the phone booth over at the UK, or you know, outside the building. Yeah, there are a bunch of different things.
Have you guys tried any of those type of scavenger hunts at Epcot?
No.
I think in a dead serious question with no judgment at all, did you know they existed?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Like that's 50-50. And that's probably average.
Yeah.
The average park goer doesn't, and we'll get to Magic Kingdom and all that fun stuff in a second, but the average park goer doesn't realize that there's an option to slow down. Like everybody's running and racing to that next attraction. What's the slowdown option? Mm-hmm. What is going to, because World Showcase is a slowdown option.
Yeah. It's, well, the entire World Showcase is a slowdown option. You're right.
Yeah. So what can you do to capture your attention even while you're slowed down?
And I'll throw out there, as far as Frozen, that was there for the kids. Ratatouille, that's there for the, so they're getting there. They're getting there. So we'll see. We'll see. Valid. Brooke, how about you? What are you going to add and or fix at Epcot?
Well, I guess mine is a form of a piggyback off of what Lisa just brought up about World Showcase. So you're in World Showcase probably, for the festivals, you're there a lot of the time. And there's not many places where you can sit or find shade or find a table to enjoy your time in World Showcase. I mean, granted, you're going to be walking around trying to visit all the countries, but then you have your hands full of food and drink, and then where do you go?
Sure. And to be honest, the last maybe year, 2 years, they have been really throwing tables and chairs all around it during festivals. But non-festival times, when those little times happen, they do have them a little bit more sparse, I guess, eating areas and such like that. Totally understand.
So can I couple on that?
Sure.
How would you feel about a bar top around World Showcase Lagoon?
No. No. Like the stadium? Like the baseball stadium?
No. Just like a standing...
Yeah. They have those for the standing room only seats out in the outfield.
Yeah.
It's a place to put your stuff down. It's
how about permanent 4 or 5 person versions of that are colored to the decor. So you don't have one main one, you have a lot of little ones. How about that are permanent?
There would have to be more than one.
Well, the one she was talking about was like the one that goes entirely the way around. So there's one big one, but it's everywhere.
Oh.
And that would look like hell.
Yeah.
Like I said, the baseball stadium. Individual ones, and you have them right on the edge of the fence. So they're not in the park, they're on the walkways, but they're right on the edge of the fence there. So if you're standing next to that fence that divides you and like the water, that's perfect. That's a place to kind of hang out. But you're right, as far as sitting, not as much.
Well, would that interfere with watching the fireworks at all?
No, it's Disney. They'll come up with smart ideas. Plus the seating, I would have the seating away from the water. So you don't need to sit on the water if you're just going to relax and eat or just chill out. You could sit anywhere else, the other side of the path perhaps, and things like that. I would actually pull more stuff away from the water side if I had my choice. But that's not my choice for Epcot, so don't let me say that.
Well then, in that case, what is your choice for Epcot?
Okay. So my biggest pet peeve of Epcot is the location of the bus stops. I'm a big, big Pop Century fan, as people know, and I love the Skyliner. However, when it rains, you can't use the Skyliner to get back to your hotel. You have to go to the front of the park and get on the bus. Pop Century, because they don't have a bus stop normally, has the bus stop the furthest away from the park. Like, literally the furthest away you can get. And then you have to like get into the line and stuff like that. And then they'll share it with the Art of Animation Hotel usually too. So now we have 100,000 people getting on one bus at a time to get back to the park. And it's raining, because don't forget, it's thundering lightning because the Skyliner's not working too. I would fix that in that let's move the bus stops a little bit closer to the park, swing it around somehow, redesign that entire pull around area. And there's got to be something better to do than that. Or, you know what? They have cover-ups for the lines. Let's put cover-ups for the entire pathway. Why isn't that entire pathway to the bus stops underneath covering? It does not have to be scenic. I don't care what it looks like. When I come around to the front and I come out from underneath the cover, that's cool. And then I'll see Spaceship Earth and the entrance to the park, whatever. So that's my.
It's very attainable, Ed, because it's what schools do down here. A lot of the schools are not in one building, but rather a campus. Mm-hmm. And when you walk around, because of the amount of rain, like elementary school, middle school, high school, that every walkway is covered.
That makes sense. And my small, really quick fix is on Ratatouille, make the single rider line operable. Open it up. Hello. It's there. The signs are all there. Let's open it up. Make it work. I would use that also for Epcot. Okay. Moving on.
Where are we going next?
We're going to go on to Hollywood Studios, I think. And at Hollywood Studios, Lisa, you get to go first.
My Hollywood Studios fix is super simple. This is going to sound like the absolute simplest thing, but it is the one thing that drives me bonkers in studios. Can we please open Pizza Rizzo after 5 p.m., please?
Right.
Pizza Rizzo closes every damn day at 5 p.m. Can we please open that up until park closes?
I never figured that
out. It is the biggest restaurant. It's beautifully themed. It's got an upstairs, downstairs, and those doors are locked solid. Right. And it's a great place to hang out. It's a great place to meet up. It's a great place to just sit down and catch the Macy.
I consider that a great crossroads right there because, you know, you're coming from both sides of the park. You're on your way to Galaxy's Edge. Yeah, I totally agree with that one. That has never really been explained to me why they do that. I always thought it was just staffing, saving money and such like that. They don't get the volume afterwards, after five. But I don't know. Good one. Very good. Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Cool.
I personally want to see a parade or cavalcade back at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Or just more characters out. I know, like, they come out in, like, the Star Wars area and Toy Story. Like, they're just kind of specific to the areas, but, like, more of, like, the core characters, like, just out in the main, like, sections of Hollywood Studios. Like, I miss that, and I would really like to see that come back.
That's a great one. Do you have any ideas of what your theme would be? Coming back, say it came back 2024, what would the theme of Hollywood Studios parade be?
Oh, man.
In the past, we've had Pixar, we've had Aladdin theme parades. What would be good for Hollywood? Something Star. It's got to be Star Wars. Back to Star Wars again, or just do the each section of the park. We're gonna have Star Wars first, then we're gonna go into Pixar, then we're gonna go into Hollywood Studios.
Just movie themed. It's Hollywood Studios. Do like lights, camera, just action, and just all the little pieces. A
little bit of everything.
Pirates. And
well, then give me some pretty spectacular floats then, or make it a nighttime parade.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cool. Great idea. Very good one. I'm going to go next, actually. I'm going to jump in here. For Hollywood Studios, I think my simplest thing is let's open up the Muppet Store. That's my simplest thing because that's a really fun shop. They've got some really great stuff in there, and they could do so much more stuff in there, very specific to the Muppets and the whole idea of that area. However, my bigger idea is Animation Courtyard has to come back. Right now, that whole part of the park is dormant. They are bringing the Little Mermaid attraction back, and that was great news. Other side of there, they have whatever kid attraction, whatever show we're on now. I'm not even sure, unfortunately. And then they also have in the back the Star Wars redecorated area that used to be the animation building that really, I've been through there the last couple of times. I was at the parks where there was nothing going on other than you could walk through there. And it was not being used. Amanda mentioned earlier about how it was fun over in Animal Kingdom to do the drawing. Well, it started over at the Animation Courtyard in Hollywood Studios, where it kind of makes sense. I still haven't figured it out over at Animal Kingdom yet. It's great to know that it's there and take advantage of doing that, because that's the most fun thing in the world. An artist basically draws a picture. He has a camera on the picture so you can see the screen, and he basically, or she basically, leads you through drawing a Disney animated character. And your pictures actually come out very well, surprisingly well. So a very, very fun activity that they need to bring back over there. Definitely an area, I don't care if they even kid theme it, as long as it's animation based, I think it'd be great. So that would be my kind of fix for that little area that's doing nothing right now. Make it a movie attraction. Make it all movies in there. Let's get more of a, like a nod back toward the original Hollywood Studios theming, perhaps, because we're still calling it Hollywood Studios. Nobody's changed that yet. So we'll see. So that's my Hollywood Studios one. And to finish out the studios, we're going to go to Amanda.
Mine's also simple. I want the great movie ride back.
That's not so simple, but yeah.
You want to stick a quarter in the time machine.
No. Like, Runaway Railway can stay, but I just want the great movie ride back.
I agree.
Put Runaway Railway in the Animation Courtyard.
Or put the new movie ride over. Now, put that in the back lot. Back lot tour slash, see, we're going to get all the nostalgic rides back. I still can't believe they took out the movie ride. That to me was really, really fun. They could have updated it so easily, I felt, between just changing out entire rooms. I don't see how that would have been difficult to do in a year downage or something like that, every 10, 15 years. Right. But yeah, very good. That's a good one. What was your favorite part of that attraction? What did you remember the best?
There's nothing specific. I just loved the whole ride itself.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Lisa?
I rode that attraction for years. Years. Been around for a very long time. Both me and the attraction. And it wasn't until one time I was riding with Jimmy Horn and he turned and looked at me and said, "Oh, we've got the Western." And I said, "The what?" I had never ridden that version of the attraction. I had probably ridden that attraction 30 times and never once got the Western version.
Mm-hmm.
I was in shock. I was like, I didn't even know that there was another version to this. He's like, yeah, it splits up and it gives you two different ones. Like, I didn't even, what is happening right now? Yeah, that still to this day baffles my brain.
Yeah, that's the same for me. It's like, it was such a random thing to get the cowboy and the Western scene. But that was the most fun. A lot of fire. Really good.
Lots of fire. Like, this is so cool. How have I never seen this?
Yeah. Brooke, you have any memories from the Great Movie Ride? Have you been on that?
Not that I was old enough to remember, probably.
That's a shame. What's so cool, there's so many great videos out there. Excuse me, yeah. Can I watch anything? Watch the early ones. What was the other thing I remember from that was the hidden Mickey. They had a hidden Donald, I think it was. Wasn't it Donald in the Egyptian hieroglyphic? Donald or something like that? In the Indiana Jones part of it. There was that guy in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was just fun. And it was a shame they took out the narration they took out the live cast member and they added the narration, but I still liked it. Mm-hmm. I still didn't think it was bad. That was a good one. Very good, Hollywood Studios. And that's kind of like interesting that we still had a lot to talk about there. Okay, one park left, Magic Kingdom. I don't know. This one could be tough or not. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first, because I can't imagine, Ed, you're not going to say this. So, I'm going to jump in, and if you don't say it, rock and roll to me. bring back the nighttime parade, please. And thank you. That's all I'm asking for. It's the only thing I want. Spectrum Magic, Main Street Electrical, I don't care. Bring it back.
That's a great one. I didn't have that on my list, but that's an incredible.
You're kidding me. I would have bet the house.
No, Spectrum Magic. I'm a big Spectrum Magic fan. The kids grew up with Spectrum Magic. That's, again, one of the big memories for us as far as going back to the parks and all that stuff. So that was always the park that we were there for, Magic Kingdom. We would leave Animal Kingdom to go to the Magic Kingdom because we didn't want to stay at Animal Kingdom. There's nothing to do there. But, yeah, so Magic Kingdom was always our destination for that. Good one, Lisa. I agree. Any nighttime parade would be great.
Anything.
Sure.
Any nighttime parade. Bring it.
Remember,
all that projection mapping. Make it all aligned.
Did you guys see any of the nighttime parades? You remember? You had to be young if you saw them.
I don't remember.
I don't think
it
so.
Was such, the planning for
Main
that
Street
night.
Left in like 2019, I think, right?
I thought it was longer than that.
I think I was here.
Oh yeah, you'd be right. I'm not.
We moved in 2019. We got here in 2019.
Right. The stress of setting up for the parade, right? But setting up for the parade and the fireworks was incredible because you were there. You had a 3-hour, 4-hour commitment for that evening, getting ready for everything. But if you planned it out, you found the right place, you did it right. You know, you made the best of it. Everybody,
and if you didn't, everybody else was doing it, and nobody was on the ride.
Right. So the rides were a fun thing to get onto. Always a blast. Mm-hmm. Using the parades, and we do that in the daytime. That's just natural, right? If you're a good ride freak. Okay, so Magic Kingdom, Lisa, that was a good one. Amanda, you can go next.
Sure. Again, I had two to choose from. The first one would be add single rider lines specifically to
That's
this park. I want to see it on the mountains and Seven Dwarves. And
yes.
Like.
Okay, well, answer me this real quick, though, because I have two things from Magic Kingdom. One of them is Single Rider Tron. Definitely turn that on. However, for Space Mountain, isn't it, you're riding up in front of each other, right, in the cars?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was like, do I want to do that or not, or are they just going to let that go? So I let Space Mountain go past them, the Single Rider, but I get what you're saying.
I don't, and here's why. Because if you have a party of four, they'll go, okay, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you don't want to be 1, 2, 3, and 4 because 1, 2, and 3 are in one picture and 4th is in another. So now you split it 2 and 2 so that at least 2 people can be in each picture. That leaves a single rider in both those spots. Any ride where you have a 3 option, you really need a single rider.
Well, I was just thinking it's a little close on Space Mountain for the single rider. Definitely. And that's what me—that's what I said over in Epcot for Ratatouille. Guardians, you can have it, I think, mm-hmm. also. If you get on any of those rides, if there's 2 people and you have 3 in your party, there's always going to be that empty spot.
I feel whenever I'm waiting for Space Mountain, always I hear a cast member asking, oh, is there a single rider? Is there a single rider? Always.
Yeah, 1 or 2, but one mostly. A perfect example is Everest. Everest has a single rider line. It's always been operating, and we almost never go on the normal line. Unless we have passes, lightning passes or whatever, it's always on the single rider line, even with the kids. And the kids understand what's going on. And you know what? 50-50, we're on the same train. So half the time, it always works out that we're close enough that it didn't matter. But it's Disney. They'll be on the next train, so it's not that bad. So, good one. Okay, Brooke, you're next. What are you going to update, fix, or change at Magic? Or at?
Mine is a small one. But when they reopened the train that goes around the whole park, I was not familiar with the hours initially, so I had planned to wait to ride it at nighttime to see the park kind of in the nighttime stage, and then I wasn't able to get on because it closes kind of early. So I kind of would like to see those hours extended.
that's a great one. I think that's incredible. They close them for the fireworks, I would say, and that should be it. Why else close the train? It's not a track. It's not going to take any wrong turns in the dark.
Exactly.
Yeah. Great one, Brooke. That's an awesome one. And you will feel.
And they can light up. They can light up the stuff along the track on the track side.
Right.
Right.
And can you imagine coming around the turn and seeing the Haunted Mansion all lit up, or
Big
Thunder even with the Old Faithful there at the corner as you're passing it on the river and such like that? That's a great one. Yeah, we're not.
I also kind of wish that they would maybe add some more scenic things for the train ride too that you can look at, because some good portions of it you're not seeing anything, and you're just kind of listening to the track that they're playing or whatever, and you're just kind of waiting to look at the next thing. Not that it's a very long ride, but like, there are some portions of it where it's just like maybe like trees that you're looking at, and it's a little disappointing.
Somewhat, yeah. I think it's kind of relaxing in a way too, because you don't have to process anything for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Although my Disney nerd mind, I'm always looking through those trees trying to find out where they are.
Too.
You know, what's over there? Is that like a back lot or something like that?
I guess eventually at some point in the future, there might be a whole other part of the park there. So who knows?
And that's a theory. That is the theory behind Big Thunder Mountain. There's a whole like area that they could definitely put something back on the other side of the tracks. So perhaps down the road that will be there. Kind of like the Space Mountain where the train goes through the exhibit. The other theory, while we're here, let's just talk real quick about it, is that they're going to be closing Tom Sawyer's Island, filling in Rivers of America, and putting an entire new land back there too. So that has been thrown out. Not sure if it's fan-based thrown out there or if it's a legit thing. I kind of don't think so, just because it's the Walt Rivers and Riverboat and such like that. But it's not like Tom Sawyer Island's like a huge attraction.
Was it supposed to be like Encanto themed or something like that?
I don't know. Everything gets Encanto themed at this point. It's like, what's the latest there? Let's do that.
The new Frozen.
Right. Yeah. Or it's the new Tiana. Tiana's, the new ride.
The Bayou.
Right.
Well, maybe off topic, but something that I really want to see come to probably Magic Kingdom is the best is a Disney villains area, maybe in the...
Yeah.
I'm a huge Disney villains fan, and you don't really see them much unless it's Halloween. So
you see that magic that would fit in Magic Kingdom or Studios.
Yeah.
I'd take that in Studios for sure.
Yeah. Or Magic Kingdom, it's the opposite of Fantasyland. It's the the adverse, opposite, and it would be treated just the way. Everything would be like black lights and greens and purples and stuff like that. It'd be evil. That's not a bad idea either. That's a great one. Because there are so many great villains in the Disney world, so many colorful ones, and everybody wants to meet the villains, so that's not an issue. You're gonna have one great attraction in the middle of that thing. That's a great idea. That's a new land. Very cool.
I'd love to see it.
That's awesome. Geez, I don't know if I even want to talk about my Magic Kingdom changes after that. Geez. So the single rider line, I definitely agreed with that. Mine was specifically Tron, because it's there and ready to go. They just haven't started using it yet. And they're still not even off the virtual queue, so we're not sure how fast that's going to happen. However, my idea was, on the People Mover, there are some really kind of cool things you see. I think the best parts of the People Mover are going through the other attractions and seeing Space Mountain and some of the other things you do see in there. However, some of the parts get really old. Now, not the model of Epcot that Walt had created and that they used as kind of the design ideas. That stays forever. But the hair salon and the different travel agency displays, I think those displays could be updated to whatever the futuristic movie of the year, decade, or whatever is like the most recent for Walt Disney World, Pixar, or something like that. Make them different, because then that's the other reason why people can go back on the People Mover again. other than it having a short line, there's something new to see the next time you go on it. So I think that would be kind of a new, nice addition to have. I don't think that'll happen either, but still something to think about. So, okay, guys. So what do you think? Let us know. Tell us what you think would be a great addition or just a fix to something at the Disney parks. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 522 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Fix it, add it, let's change something in the parks and make it a little better. For Amanda, for Brooke, for Lisa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See you real soon.
Bye.
So long, everybody.